All right. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight, if you would, again to the book of Proverbs. And this evening we want to go to Proverbs chapter 12 to begin our study this evening here in this great book with so much wisdom from God. And we can be so thankful for the wisdom of God. Did you ever wonder where we would be without God's wisdom? What we would do? So thankful for this very practical book. And I trust you've been enjoying and have been challenged by the study as we've been working our way through the book of Proverbs, looking at some of the themes that are contained here. And tonight we want to look in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 15 in just a moment. And I want to speak to you for the next few moments on the value of good counsel. The value of good counsel. Now, since the book of Proverbs speaks often about wisdom, it's somewhat clear that it also speaks often about how to obtain that wisdom. And while we can be sure that wisdom comes from God, the book of Proverbs also tells us that we can obtain really valuable wisdom by seeking godly, good counsel. And so tonight, we want to talk about what it means to obtain counsel and how important that is for our lives. And as we go through the day-to-day process of making decisions, how important it is that we have the right kind of counselors that we are calling upon to help us in that process. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." There's a contrast in Proverbs 12, 15 between the man who does not seek counsel. The Bible calls him a fool. And according to verse 15, he is characterized as one who doesn't think he needs counsel because the way that he has imagined in his mind is right. There's no need to ask for counsel because I'm right. Why would I ask anybody else for their opinion? I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. And God says that man is a fool. But the man who learns and hearkens unto counsel, the Bible says, is a wise man. I think it should be said of every one of us tonight that we desire to be wise people. Amen. Tonight, as we think this about this subject of counsel and the value of counsel, we want to start, as we look in the book of Proverbs, by looking at this truth that some will avoid counsel. Some people, you can't tell them anything. You know the kind of people that I'm talking about? Hopefully it's not you. This is the kind of person that you start to try to point something out to them, and they say, "Listen, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. I've got this under control. I understand everything about this." You know, there's many people who have no interest in asking for good counsel. Deep down inside, I think all of us come pre-wired with this tendency because we tend to have a spirit of pride that tells us, "I'm right, and everybody else that disagrees with me is wrong, and therefore I don't really need advice. I don't need counsel. I know what I'm doing." Now, we're going to look at the book of Proverbs and find out that this attitude of avoiding counsel does result in destruction in a person's life. Notice, first of all, as we think about avoiding counsel, our tendency. Our tendency. We look here at Proverbs 12, 15, and the first thing about our tendency is we tend to think that we are right. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand tonight, but if I were to ask, how many of you think that you are wrong? Right now, in what you're doing, you think that you're wrong. Well, I don't think many of us would raise our hands because generally we would say, if I thought I was wrong, I would fix it. I would change it. I think I'm right. I'm pretty sure that I'm right. Now, the problem comes in your life and mine when we think that we are right and we're not willing to listen to anyone else who has a different point of view. You know what an echo chamber is? An echo chamber? We can be guilty sometimes as believers of building an echo chamber, of only listening to people who agree with us, of people who see things the same way that we do. You know, many people have a hard time imagining that they could be wrong or that their perspective is not correct about any given situation. They figure, "I know what I'm doing." And yet the Bible tells us here in Proverbs 12:15, which we just read, that that is the mark of a fool rather than a wise man. Now, that's not to say that we should walk around saying, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm probably making a mistake. My life is going to be a mess. That's not the contrast. The contrast is having the humility to be able to put our decisions in front of good counselors and say, what do you think about this? Is this a wise decision? Is this something that I ought to do? You know, the truth is many people don't seek counsel until they've already made up their mind. And their idea of seeking counsel is coming and informing the people in their life, here's what I'm doing. And then they say, I sought counsel. Well, that's not seeking counsel. If you already made up your mind and you came and informed everyone that's what you're doing, that's not seeking counsel. That's just informing people that you already have your mind made up. Do you see the difference between those two things? You and I tend to think that we're correct. You tell a little kid, don't do it that way. What are they going to do? Well, they're probably going to keep doing it that way. As soon as you turn your back, they're going to go and do it just the way that they think it ought to be done. And then when it happens the way that you told them it was going to happen and they get hurt and you say, see, I told you so, they get upset. And yet, you know, there's a little bit of that little kid in all of us, isn't there? That if somebody says to us, don't do it that way, we think, who do they think they are? I'm going to show them that it can be done. I'm going to show them that it can be done that way. Well, that's that part of us that's a little bit of a fool. We have a tendency to think that we're right. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 19 tonight. Proverbs chapter 19. Not only do we tend to think that we're right in most situations, but we also have a tendency to push for our own way. Once we have our mind made up that we want something or that something ought to be a certain way, we have a tendency to push and push and push to get our way. In verse 21, it says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The word devices refers to plans or imaginations. You know, in any given situation of life where we need to make a decision, all of us usually have a particular outcome that we are looking for, something that we are hoping will come out of that situation. And we have generally a plan that says, here's what I'm going to do, and here's how I'm going to have this happen. And you know what our tendency then is especially if we think people will disagree with us, especially if it's people who could have some influence in our life or who maybe are going to be going along with that decision with us, we have a tendency then to go around and manipulate and arrange all the circumstances so that we can go to that person and say, okay, here's what we ought to do. And basically, they couldn't say no. There's no way because we've arranged everything around them so that they have to say yes. And yet, you know, as much as you try to manipulate God, God's plan, God's way is what is going to stand. Amen. We have a tendency to push, to say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get it my way. I'm going to do it my way. That's not always a good thing. Many times, we need to evaluate whether we have determination or stubbornness. Whether it is a determination to do God's will and to please Him, or whether it is a stubbornness which is keeping us from yielding to God and from doing what we know that God says. Have you ever, in your mind, wanted to do something and you knew what the Bible said? And you knew that it was wrong? And you knew that God disagreed with it, but you wanted to do it anyway? Isn't it amazing that we can reason our way around the Bible and we can figure out a way to get what we want and to do it the way that we want? But here's what you can't do. And by the way, God will let you often do that. But here's what we can't do. We can't take away the consequences on the other side of disobeying God's word. We have a tendency to push for our own way. If you're a wise person, you'll recognize that you have a tendency to think that you are right. And you have a tendency to push to get what you want. Deep down inside, when you want something, you have a tendency to push and push and manipulate and pull strings, and I'm going to get what I want. And that's not a good tendency. Now, that's our tendency, and that's why we often avoid counsel. But turn in your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 1. And I want you to see the cyclone that we sometimes create when we are pushing for our own way. In Proverbs chapter 1, in the context, God is talking about His wisdom that He's offered to man, and He's characterizing these men as turning aside from His wisdom. And in verse 25, He says, let's start in verse 24, "Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded it, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof." Look at verse 30. "They would none of my reproof. They despised all my reproof." And you'll note that the result of this despising and this turning away from God's counsel is a wreck. It's a shipwreck. It's destruction that takes place in that person's life. Now, notice a couple things about these verses. First of all, it says there in verse 25, "Ye have set at naught all my counsel." That's a very interesting phrase. It literally means to regard as nothing. This is what we do when somebody says, "Well, I hear what you're saying, but what about this verse that says this?" And here's our answer. "Oh, that doesn't apply. Oh, that's just your interpretation. Oh, that's in the Old Testament. I'm a New Testament believer." Or whatever excuse you use, what you're doing is you're setting it at naught. You're saying, literally, "This means nothing to me. This is nothing. This is something to be ignored. This is something to be set aside. This is something for me not to pay attention to." Now, this is the natural response of many people when God's counsel is offered to them and they want to do something different. I'll never forget some years ago counseling with a couple, and they came in. They were not believers, and I told them up front, "Look, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a licensed counselor. I'm going to give you counsel from God's word. I'm going to tell you God's way of handling this situation." "Oh, good. That's exactly what we want." And I'm thinking, you know, these people need to get saved. And they told me their problem, and I told them the biblical solution, and they didn't like it. And later, after they left, you know, "Thank you very much for meeting with us." Later, the fella called me and he said, "You know, you really almost ruined things for me. Because the way you were talking almost ruined everything that I had planned for how to fix this problem." But basically, he talked her out of it. And they never came to see me again. And that was well enough. And you know what they did? They set at naught the clear counsel of God's word. They said, "We don't need that. We don't want that. We can do it our own way." I have no idea where they ended up or what ended up happening in their situation. But I know this. I know what the Bible says, and I know that they decided that they didn't need God's word. When you set at naught God's word, that puts you in a very bad situation. Now he goes on and he says, not only had they set at naught what God had said, but he says in verse 25, "And you would none of my reproof." The idea of this phrase is that they were actively avoiding the counsel of God. They didn't want to hear God. They didn't want to hear what God had to say. This is what happens when you know that you're doing something that God is not in agreement with, and so because of that, you stop reading your Bible. And you start avoiding church because you're afraid the preacher might preach on what you're dealing with. And you stop really talking about it with your Christian brothers and sisters because you know that they might say something about what God's... In other words, what you're doing is you're avoiding what God has to say. You don't want to hear it. Don't tell me. I don't want to know what God has to say because, you know, ignorance is bliss. Except ignorance is only bliss until you figure out that you were ignorant and you should have listened. And God says, "Look, you despised, you set it at naught. You would none of my reproof." And notice how this is getting more and more serious. Then in verse 30, he says, "They despised all my reproof." That word despised means you and I can get to the place where we hate godly counsel. And we become grieved if someone dares to offer that counsel to us. if somebody dares to say to us, you know, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not the right thing for a Christian to do. That's not the right behavior for a Christian to have. We think, who do they think they are? How dare they butt into my business? Why would they say something like that to me? Maybe because they care about you. Maybe because they're concerned about the path that you're going down. But you know what happens is we get harder and harder to God's counsel. And once you have despised God's reproof, that's a place where many people never return from, sadly. It's a sad thing to watch in someone's life. Now, I said all that, and the book of Proverbs deals with this in other places, but I said all that to point out that some people will avoid counsel. And really, if we're honest, all of us have a little bit of a tendency to avoid counsel. We want to make our own decisions. We want to be independent. We want to do our own thing. And let me hasten to say this. Just because you seek counsel and somebody gives you a different perspective than what you're thinking, it doesn't mean that you have to do what that other person says. But it is still wise to seek counsel. And it is especially wise to see what God has to say about the situation that you're making a decision about. So some people will avoid counsel. But you know, second of all, in the book of Proverbs, we find there are those who avoid counsel, but there are also some who will accept counsel. Now, let it be said of all of us tonight that we are the kind of people that accept counsel, that we value counsel. There are many benefits for those who delight in and seek after wisdom. Now, I want to point out to you before we get too far into this thought tonight that counsel is usually something that we have to ask for. It's usually something that we need to pursue after. Because most of the time, counsel will not be offered from truly wise individuals unless I have an openness to that counsel. Now, I understand there is a time and place for people who love you and those who are in your life to try to appeal to you from the Scriptures. But by and large, as you're making decisions, people are not going to chase you down and say, hey, what you're doing is not right, unless it's really out of bounds. Most of the time, people are going to say, I guess they're getting counsel somewhere. I wonder why they're doing that. I wonder why they're making that decision. But at the end of the day, most of the time, even your pastor is not really going to chase you down and say, what are you doing? Why did you do that? Why did you make that decision? Unless it is something that is far enough out of bounds that it clearly needs to be dealt with. And that is why we need to cultivate the desire to seek after and pursue counsel. We ought to look for opportunities to receive counsel from others. Now, why would we accept counsel? And what are the benefits of counsel that come to us when we find that we can have wise counselors? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us, and we can turn to Proverbs chapter 11, the first benefit that counsel brings is safety. There is safety in having counselors. Proverbs 11, verse number 14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Why in the multitude of counselors? Well, for one thing, because a multitude of godly counselors may have different perspectives, may have different areas of input, and may be able to help us see some things that we haven't thought about. Do you ever experience tunnel vision when you're making a decision? This happens to me sometimes. I sometimes get tunnel vision about something that I want to buy. And I've got it all figured out. We need this. And here's five reasons why we need it, and here's how much it's going to cost, but we can afford it, and so let's get it. And then I'll maybe go and say to my wife, now, honey, we're going to get this thing. And then she asks me, now, why are we getting that? What's wrong with the thing that we have? And she's always respectful and kind about it, but you know what? She's given me a different perspective, and she's like, is it really something that we need? Well, now I got to think about that. Now I might not be able to get it. You know what? I need her input on that sort of thing. I value from that. There is safety. There are times when my wife has pointed out things about something that I wanted to get, something I wanted to buy, and I hadn't thought about it. And she was exactly right, and it saved us an awful lot of money. There's safety, and that's a silly type of illustration. But you know, many times in your life and mine, we're going to make decisions. There is safety in having counselors. We said people avoid counsel because they're avoiding counsel because they're afraid people will tell them something they don't want to hear. But listen, if you don't want to hear it, why don't you want to hear it? Is it because there is something that is dangerous that they could warn you about? There is safety. Proverbs 24, 6. Proverbs 24 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety." There is safety in the multitude of counselors to hear from people who might have a different perspective than you do. Abraham Lincoln was famous for his practice of having a cabinet of advisors who were rivals, who were political rivals, who saw things differently than he did, but he valued their advice because he knew for a fact that they would see things very differently from him. And he would put an issue out on the table, and he wanted to know how somebody from a different political spectrum would see it and how they would consider it. You know, there's some wisdom in that for us. There's some wisdom for us to understand that in the multitude of counselors, sometimes it's good to have some older counselors, and sometimes it's good to also have some younger counselors, and sometimes it's good to have some middle-aged counselors, and sometimes it's good to have some counselors who are professionals in some area, and maybe some people who are amateurs in some area, because you're going to get all kinds of different perspectives about that thing, and there is safety in those counselors. You might hear something from one of those counselors that you had never thought of. It is very, very wise to pay attention to wise counselors and to seek out counsel. That's a safe thing. There's safety. Young people, teenagers who are here, can I just urge you to develop the habit of seeking counsel, of asking advice? And again, a lot of times young people don't want to seek counsel. They don't want to hear advice because they say, "Oh, my parents are always going to disagree with me. They're going to tell me something different." Well, maybe your parents have some wisdom that you could learn from. Amen. Maybe there's something that you could glean from that. So there's safety. Are y'all with me tonight?
Amen.
Okay. So in counsel, there is safety. But in counsel, second of all, there is also wisdom. You can turn to Proverbs chapter 19. We read at the beginning of the service, Proverbs chapter 12. I'll just read it to you again real quick, where it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Now that idea of hearkeneth means to pay attention, to consider carefully. It has the idea of really listening to the counsel, not just saying, "Oh, well, I went and got counsel and then I did whatever I wanted," but really considering it and thinking about it. Here in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There is no fool as great as the man who thinks he knows everything." Learn to receive counsel. Learn to hear and consider instruction. You might be surprised what you could learn from someone. You might be surprised the wisdom that you could come away with. I'm convinced of this. Many of us are not as wise as we could be because we're not careful to listen to those who could help us to understand something better. We've already got it figured out. Why should I ask? Why should I bother looking for input? Maybe because you could come away wiser than you were before. So we have to learn how to open ourselves up to counsel if we're going to learn to be wise. You know, many people even come to God's Word and they want to sit in judgment on what God says. And they read it in God's Word and they say, "But, you know, in my situation's different. No, that's something, you know, that's entirely not going to work. Oh, that's not true in this generation," and all the different excuses. They're sitting in judgment over God's Word. Do you think that person is going to be wise? Not a chance. There is great wisdom in learning to accept counsel. Number three, if we learn to accept counsel, there is also great satisfaction. Turn to Proverbs 15. We'll learn in Proverbs 15 as you turn to Proverbs 15, verse 22. The Bible says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. What is a purpose? A purpose is an aspiration. It's a plan. It's an intention. And we say, okay, I have this intention. I want to do this. I want to go down this path. You know what you ought to do? You ought to seek some counsel about that. Because if you learn to seek counsel, you can find that your purposes will be established. In other words, that you'll be able to accomplish that which you hope to accomplish. There are many things that we hope to accomplish in life, ways that we want to be successful, and if we can learn from a multitude of counselors, those purposes can be established. I think about parenting. And maybe some of you who are here tonight say, I want to be the kind of parent that God wants me to be. I want to raise my kids for the Lord. Do you think maybe it would be wise to seek counselors about that? And to learn from, of course, the counsel of God's Word, but also to learn from some who have gone before, to learn from some who have made some mistakes, who can say, please don't do what I did, to learn from some who can say, hey, this worked for us, and this is something practically that we did, and I think that would be wise. Because, you know, you want your kids to turn out the right way. You want them to go on and serve the Lord, and you've got to learn to seek counsel about that. We could go on and on. Many times in finances, people don't want to listen to counsel. But, you know, one of the best things you can learn is how to listen to wise financial counselors to help you to make wise decisions. You say, but they're always going to tell me to get out of debt and to get rid of my credit card and to not buy things that I don't need. And I don't want to hear that. Well, then continue on in your way. But, you know, there might be some satisfaction that comes from listening to wise financial counselors. And we could go on. But, you know, the Bible says here in the book of Proverbs that though there are some who will avoid counsel, there are definitely some who will accept counsel. And I believe that's the kind of person that all of us ought to desire to be. Third of all tonight, the last thought from the book of Proverbs, all of us must be aware in seeking counsel. Need I say tonight that whatever you want to do, you could find a counselor who will tell you to go ahead and do that. Whatever you want to do. I mean, if you want to go blow up a building, you could probably find somebody who'd say, that sounds like a great idea. Why don't you go do that? And they'd encourage you in it. So just because you can find a counselor who will agree with you and tell you, yeah, go ahead and do it, doesn't mean that they're giving you good counsel. We have a tendency in our human nature, which psychologists call confirmation bias. That is, we tend to seek out counsel that we agree with and latch onto it to say, see, somebody agrees with me, therefore I can do what I want. And we really need to be careful of confirmation bias when we're seeking counsel. We must be aware. What counsel, first of all, should we avoid? Is there some counsel that we should avoid? Well, the book of Proverbs tells us about at least two specific kinds of counsel that we should avoid. First of all, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 30. Proverbs 21 and verse number 30 says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. And so the very first kind of counsel that we should avoid at all costs is any counsel which tells us to go against God and His ways. You know, if somebody tells you, oh, that book is so old-fashioned, don't listen to the Bible, don't listen to what God says, that's been disproven, and, you know, this is the modern age and all that, you better run from that person. They're not a wise counselor. They are going to lead you down the wrong path. We ought to avoid counsel that is against the Lord. If somebody tells us you don't need to listen to God's word, that's a good hint for me to exit right and find another counselor. I'm not interested in listening to somebody who is going to point me away from the counsel that God gives in His word. The second kind of counsel that we should avoid in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 5, we should be very, very careful to avoid this. Proverbs 12 and verse number 5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Deceit. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't particularly want to go to a counselor who is going to lie to me, who is going to try to deceive me. And I want to point something out here in Proverbs 12, 5, that just because someone is wicked doesn't mean that everything they say is wrong. However, when someone is wicked, when they are not a follower of the Lord, we ought to really be careful about what they're saying. Most of the self-help section in the bookstore, most of the stuff that's on the internet, most of the stuff that is out there as you can improve your life is not written by people who are writing from a biblical perspective. Be careful, because sometimes those things are deceitful. Sometimes they are geared at pulling you away from the wisdom of God. And so there is some counsel that we should avoid, but there's also some counsel that we should attend to. What kind of counsel should we seek out? If I'm going to have counselors in my life, what kind of counselors am I interested in? Well, in Proverbs chapter 20, look at Proverbs chapter 20. I want you to see verse number 5. The Bible here says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, I've often looked at Proverbs 20 and verse number 5, and I think there's some other applications of this particular verse. But something that I want to point out to you is that we ought to be looking for deep, thoughtful counsel. You know, typically, you can't just walk up to somebody and give them 3 minutes and say, here, tell me what you think about this situation, and expect to get a really good answer, a really thought out answer. Why? Because especially in perplexing situations, that person is going to have to give it some thought. Sometimes people will reach out to me. They'll say, hey, pastor, you know, I'm dealing with this decision. Let me tell you about it. And here's what I'm thinking. And here's what, you know, I need some advice. What do you think about this? And, you know, on more than one occasion, I have said, you know, I am not going to be able to give you an answer right now. Can I get back to you after I have some time to think about this? Can I have some time to maybe ask some other fellows who are wise and see what they think about this and try to get you an answer? Because I'm not sure that I know exactly how to handle this. You see, we ought to be looking for really thoughtful kind of counsel. Not just stuff that's off the cuff. What is it, the type of counsel that comes off the cuff? Oh, yeah, that sounds good to me. Do whatever you want. Hey, yeah, I'm sure it'll work out. Oh, sure, no problem. But that's kind of shallow. And sometimes that's right. But you know what? We need to give people time to think. If you're going to have counselors in your life, give them some time. Don't say, hey, I've got to make a decision in 3 minutes. You got to give me an answer right now. I mean, unless you really have to make a decision in 3 minutes. Don't wait till the last minute. So we're looking for deep counsel. Deep counsel comes from people that we have cultivated close relationships with. Deep counsel comes from people who understand us. Deep counsel comes from people that we have walked with for a period of time through the situations of life. You understand what I'm saying? This is not the kind of counsel that comes from a shallow relationship or a casual friendship. This is the kind of counsel that comes from someone that cares about you deeply and who knows you intimately and who is able to speak into your life. And what I'm pointing out is that type of counselor is someone that you develop a relationship with. You spend time with them. You learn to know them and they know you. And therefore, they can give you deep counsel. We're looking for deep counsel, but Proverbs chapter 22, we're really looking for divine counsel. Now, sometimes when people ask me for counsel and they say, hey, pastor, what do you think about this? It's very simple. Because I right in that moment, I know exactly what the Word of God says. It's very plain. It's very simple. Here's three verses that talk about it. Consider that. And I think that answers your question. That's the kind of counsel that we're looking for, is thus saith the Lord. Amen. Proverbs 22, verse 17 says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing. If thou keep them from within thee, or if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? You know, the very best kind of counselor is someone who is not afraid to say to you, you know, I can think of a couple of verses that seem to apply to that situation. I can think of a couple of scriptural examples which seem to apply to that situation. I can think of some scriptural principles which apply to that situation. Instead of the person who says, well, here's what I think. Here's what I would do. Here's how I feel about that. We want to look for counselors who know God closely enough that they can say, here's what I think the Lord would want you to do. Here's what the Bible says. Here's some principles that apply to that. Now we're seeking for counsel ultimately that comes from God. And you say, well, then why don't I just read the Bible and figure it out for myself? And I'm going to say, first of all, that's a good idea. Before you seek counsel, you ought to dig in God's Word and find out what God has to say. And then go ask somebody who knows the Scripture and say, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think about that? Do you think there's some other verses that I'm missing? Do you think there's another perspective that I'm not getting? Because maybe, just maybe, you missed something. Sure, seek it for yourself in God's Word, but be open to the perspective of someone else who could point you to some other points of view and say, here's another way to look at that, and here's some other verses to consider, and here's what God might be trying to do. Because counsel is important. Now let me, just as an aside, speak for a moment to those of you who give counsel. And you say, well, that's not me. Actually, it probably is. All of us give counsel probably on a daily basis to all kinds of different people in our lives. People come and it's not a you know, sit down in my chair and let's fill out an information sheet and tell me your problem. But it's more like, hey, I got this situation in my life. Your coworkers, your spouse, your children, fellow church members, different things like that. And you're giving people some counsel. And just a couple of things I want to say to you. Seek to give counsel that is first and foremost scriptural. That's scriptural counsel. And then second of all, don't have a big head about your counsel. You see, here's the thing about counsel, and especially if somebody is wise enough to ask counsel from many different points of view and to go to many different people that are wise and look for an answer, is that you might give counsel to somebody and they might say, I just don't see it that way. I'm going to do it a different way. Now, I want to point out to you that if somebody says, the Bible says thou shalt not, and they say, I'm going to do it anyway, they've got a problem. But as a counselor, listen to me, their problem is not with me. Their problem is with God. So I don't need to get upset personally with someone who says, I disagree with you, or I'm going to do something differently. Now, when we get to more issues that are not quite as clear, they're not in the Bible as thou shalt and thou shalt not, and somebody comes to you and they say, what should I do? And then they decide that they're going to do something different. Don't get upset with them. Don't get annoyed with them. Give them the benefit of the doubt that they have sought your counsel, and perhaps they've sought some other people's counsel, and most importantly, they've sought the Lord's counsel, and maybe they've come to a different decision. But you don't have to be upset with them because they decided to do something different than you said they ought to do. In other words, being a counselor is not the same as being an authority and telling them, you do this or else. All right, just a little helpful tidbit there. Is counsel important? Yes, it is. The Bible says that we all need counselors in our life, that we ought to be looking for godly, scriptural advice in the decisions that we make. And I hope that you've cultivated those kind of relationships so that in the times of decision, when you need godly counsel, there's some people that you can go to and say, I really need some help in making this decision. Because godly counsel can make a real difference in your life, and it can help you to end up in a place where your life is pleasing to the Lord.